time for many of us. May never meet like this again. All of us, this very crowd that you're, may never meet in this way again this side of heaven. That's right. A lot of old people here, and don't know just when I'll be getting back. Accidents, and you know what takes place. I may never be able to come back, or you may never be able to come back. But my last testimony to you, if there isn't, if there so happens that way, Jesus Christ is truly the Son of God, raised from the dead. And what I speak of about Him, I believe with all my heart. And I love you with undying and the warmest of Christian love. God be with you. Now, our little pastor over here, her brother, Joseph. you give me your close attention now for the reading of the Word. In the book of Jude, we find these verses at the third verse of the book of Jude. Beloved, I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation. It was needful for me to write unto you and to exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith that was once delivered unto the saints. May the Lord add His blessings to the reading of His Word. Now, I believe that this book was written in A.D. 66. And it was 33 years then after Pentecost. And Jude, speaking to the church then, was exhorting them that they should earnestly contend for the faith that was once delivered to the saints. Could you ever think that that the great Holy Spirit Church that had been inaugurated and immersed into Christ by the Holy Spirit could be so tangled up in such a short time that the prophet here was telling him to earnestly contend for the faith that was once delivered to the saints. Now, we won't take much time. I've got to watch here because we've got a big service coming on. Pray for as many people tonight as I possibly can get through the line. And I ask to stand by in faith. Prayer. Now, the prophet here says to earnestly contend for the faith, not a faith, but the faith that was once delivered unto the saints. Now, many people say, well, I would go down to that meeting, but it's against my faith. There's only one faith. One faith, one hope, one Lord, one baptism. You believe it? One faith, and that faith is in the Lord Jesus Christ. And now, some people say, well, I'm a Methodist, that's against my faith. I'm a Catholic, and that's against my faith. There's only one faith. Might be different denominations of churches to represent that faith, but there's only one faith. Now, Jude said that we, speaking here, primarily, of course, to the church in that day, but we should earnestly contend for the faith that was once delivered to the saints. Now, it could not apply to the Old Testament. It had to be to the New Testament. Because the Old Testament was the law, and this side is grace. And it said the law and prophets, Luke 16:16, law and prophets were until John, since then the kingdom of heaven's been preached. So it had to be this side. Had to be this side for sanctification, called saints. The church is referred to as saints after. The word saint means the sanctified one. In other words, we must contend for the faith that was once delivered to the sanctified one. Sanctification means to be called out, set apart, cleansed. See? Cleansed and set apart for service. Now, the faith that was once delivered unto those people, that is the faith that we are supposed to contend. You know what contend means? Is to debate. or to hold to, contend for, earnestly contend for that faith. Now, if I said, Methodist brethren, do you have it? Yep, we got that faith. And Baptist brethren, yep. The Catholic says, yep. The Pentecostal says, yep. Everyone would say, yes, my church is contending for that faith. Well, I'm happy to hear that. I'd be very happy to know that that's true. Now, the only way, well, to say what makes you different one from another then. Well, then, we believe it that it was this the way. Now, let's just go back in the early part of the Scripture, the early ministry, and in the days of the saints, and see what kind of a faith that they had, and then let's contend for what they had. That's the only way to be sure. Is that right? Now, the first one to introduce the faith that the Bible wants us to contend for was the Lord Jesus Christ himself. John was a forerunner to speak of it coming, but Christ was it. Christ himself. He was the one who brought the faith because Christ on earth was God's representation to the people on the New Deal. Notice, God sent Christ after the days of the law, made a woman under the law, that he might redeem those who were under the law. Christ was made of human flesh, being God himself, Emmanuel, invested, God in Christ, reconciling the world to himself. And when he was here on earth, he did not follow his own thoughts, his own will, but he sacrificed his own will and his own thoughts to follow the mind and the will of his Father. I come not to do my will, but the will of him that sent me. You see it? Now, Christ come to do the will of the Father. Then if we can see what Christ did and what kind of a faith that he gave to the people or preached to the people, then that should be the faith that we contend for. Now, when Christ was here on earth, we wonder he was born just an ordinary boy baby, born in a manger. He didn't come to the world with a great lot of to do. He just was a humble parent, born in a manger, raised up, went and was brought up with his people, and at the age of 30 years old, he went out into the wilderness and there met John and was baptized of John in the Jordan, obeying or fulfilling. When John saw him coming, he said, I have need to be baptized of thee. And why comest thou unto me? He said, suffer it to be so. But thus it behooveth us to fulfill all righteousness. And then he was baptized of John, went straightway out of water, and lo, the heavens was open unto him. And John bare record, seeing the Spirit of God like a dove descending from heaven and lighting up on him. John said, Father, I knew him not, but he that said to me in the wilderness to go baptize, said, upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remaining on, he's the one that will baptize with the Holy Ghost and fire. John had a sign that that was the Messiah. When he seen him coming, he knew that it was the Messiah. Now, he was not dressed any different from any other man. Jesus is just an ordinary man. The Bible said there was no beauty we should desire. He wasn't such a great 7-foot man. There's no beauty we should design. I suppose he had not much of this world's education, for we have no record of him ever going to school. No record in the Scriptures or history that he ever went to school. But he had an education, of course. But where he got it, we don't know. And now we have a Paul's record of where he went to school and others, but we have no record where Jesus went to school. You're just an ordinary man, talk ordinary language, the language like you use at the street where everybody, the common people, would hear. And so then there was nothing outstanding about his looks and so forth that you could make him what he was. What he was not by outward appearance, for he was a man outward, But inward, he was God. Emmanuel. Father God was in him, reconciling the world to himself. So there he brought the Christian faith. Now, we'll notice him. What made him different? As a speaker, I guess he wasn't so forceful as get out in the street and like we do and scream, because the Bible said his voice was not heard in the street. And a bruised reed and a smoking flax and so forth, as the prophet said he would be. So he was just something about his talk that caught the heart of people, though. He didn't have to be so forceful about it in an outward demonstration, but there was something down in his talk that fascinated the hearts of people. I've often liked to hear great ministers to speak, and I love to hear them. But I've often wondered how I would have felt standing there that day when Jesus stretched forth his arms and said, "Come unto me, all ye labor and heavy laden, I'll give you rest." Oh, I'd love to have heard that. I'd like to have heard him when he was sitting on the rock, perhaps on the mount there where he gave the Sermon on the Mount, and listened to that. He said, "Blessed are the pure in heart, they shall see God. Blessed are you when man shall persecute you and make all manner of fun of you falsely for my name's sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you." Oh, I love to hear him preach that. But as I've often said, I probably could never hear that. But I do have the hopes of hearing this. "Well done, my good and faithful servant." If I can only hear that, that's all. That'll satisfy me right. Notice, when he was here on earth, Peter said in Acts the 2nd chapter, after he had received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, he said, "You men of Israel, this Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you." By what? By his theology? No. By his great standing in the church? No. By his degree? No. By his excellently of speech? No. "Ye men of Israel, Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by signs and wonders that God did by him in the midst of you all, which you all are witness." My, that was right straight from the shoulder, wasn't it? "That you by wicked hands have crucified the Prince of Life, but God raised him up again." Amen. I like that. "That you crucified him, but it's not possible that he should be a holder of death. So death had to turn him loose, and he has raised from the dead. And we are his witnesses." Amen. That's why these things are done. For instance, the important man at the gate healed said, "By faith in the name of Jesus Christ, this man's made whole." See? The Prince of Life, who you crucified, said God vindicated him. He didn't have no, he wasn't a great princely looking man. He wasn't none of these things that the world looks at. But God was with him, because he proved that he was with him before all of you by signs and wonders which he did in the midst of you all. That's what the apostles thought about the Christian faith. What did the great ecclesiastical rim, the Pharisees and Sadducees, the great Sanhedrin court, mounting to around 2 million people, they sent a representative over one night, Nicodemus. He came by night. Some of you laughed at him coming by night. He finally arrived. Did you?
Yeah.
Have you done as much as Nicodemus? He finally got there. He got to Jesus. All right. And when he comes, look at him now, a scholar. A scholar coming to a man who had no diploma. It was an aristocrat coming to a pauper for knowledge. It was a man of great degrees coming to a man that had no degree. It was an old sage and teacher coming to a young fellow to learn about everlasting life. You see the difference? Now, he came along through the alleys at nighttime, making his way up the halls of his church and so forth. But Nicodemus, listen at him, he voiced for the church, the Sanhedrin court, for the temple, for the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the Sanhedrins and so forth. He said, we know, Rabbi, or Master, we know that thou art a teacher come from God. We, who's we? We, Jews, we of the court, we of the synagogue, who's persecuted you, making fun of you, and laughing at you. But we know that your teacher comes from God. Why? Because that you're an eloquent man, great speech, a melodious voice? No. How do you know then? We know that our teacher comes from God, for no man can do the things that you do, the miracles that you do, except God be with him. They knew that that was him. But for prejudice, selfishness, not ready to have self-denial, to renounce your own surroundings and accepting, yet they recognized that it was of God. This city, reading newspapers, coming into the meeting, is without excuse. They know God's down here moving and performing miracles. The people who laugh at divine healing, laugh at the Church of the Living God, and saying if they're narrow-minded, they're without excuse. They know down in their hearts that that's the truth.
That's right.
They're just afraid to admit it. Afraid to lose some of their social prestige. I'd rather lose all my social prestige and gain heaven.
Yeah,
wouldn't you? Frankly, I had no social prestige to lose. But Christ taken me in, and now I'm a child. Look what he was for. He, in his riches, became poor, that in his poverty we might become rich. In his immortality, he became flesh, that he might take our sickness, that in his sickness we might have health. And all my sins, he was sinless, and taken my sins that I might be sinless. He became me that I might become him in heaven. He stands as mine and your representative. Then God don't look to us, he looks to our representative. Oh, isn't that marvelous? Christ standing in our stead, representing us before the Father. You ever in a court trial? The representative. He stands as our attorney, standing to plead. Who knows to do any better than he does? When he's the very Son of the Father, standing in the presence of God to plead we sinners' case, if we'll confess. Being rich, yet was become poor, that through his poverty we might be made rich. Rich in what? Money? No. Rich in heavenly blessings, spiritual things. We who were once poor now become rich through his poverty. Noticing, stripped himself, humiliated himself, come down the great divine one from above, you in humiliation, come down and brought himself down, humbled himself in a body of flesh to walk among man, hear the cursing and swearing of man, feel the pains of sickness and of death upon himself, that through all that, not because he had to, but because love drove him to it. That he'd done all of that and was sick and had trouble. You say, was he sick? Certainly. Didn't he make the own thing himself, his own statement, and said, won't they say to me, physician, heal yourself? Sure. He bore our sicknesses, our grief, our sins, our sorrows. See what he was? Now, that's who the apostles talked about. That's who Nicodemus talked about. Let's see what he was. What kind of representative did he make of the Christian faith? When he was here upon the earth, he'd taken no name upon himself. The Bible said that he didn't. He made of himself no reputation. Many times I've thought this, the man that made the false plate for teeth made a reputation in him. But the man who made the real teeth made of himself no reputation. The man that made an artificial egg made a reputation for himself, but the man who made the real egg made of himself no reputation. See? He just stripped himself and come down to save you and me. To heal you and me. The great physician, the God of heaven, the immortal one, clothed himself in flesh in order to anchor sickness in his own body to take our sickness away.
Right.
It just never be known. Words can express what that really is. What God did for us in Christ Jesus.
Yes.
When he was here on earth, he didn't brag about himself. He come knowing nothing but what the Father's will was to do. He was offered great things. Even Satan told him, I'll give you every kingdom of the world and make you master over them if you'll fall down and worship me. He said, get thee hence, Satan. It's written that thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shall you serve.
Yes.
Certainly. He could have all the kingdoms of the world. He'll have them anyhow. He falls heir to him. He's heir of all things. And we are heir with him and joint heirs in the kingdom. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. That's his sermon. What he gave us is promises. That was him. Now notice him. As he's here on earth, we see some of his work. Let's see what he meant in Christian faith now. Here he is here, the stream of all Christianity. The head, the beginning, the origin of the Christian faith was Jesus Christ, God's Son. The beginning of Christian faith, the starting place for all mankind of all ages to look to that starting place and begin from there. He was an example to us. Is that right? On 13th chapter of St. John, when feet washing was brought along, and he said, what to Peter, self-starched as Peter was, protected, there he stood there as a stiff-collared, and he walked up to wash Peter's feet. He said, you're never washing my feet. Oh, my, we have so many of those today. You're never washing my feet. Jesus looked at him and said, well, if I don't wash you, you got no part with me. Peter said, then, Lord, not my feet only, but my hands and head. Kind of unstarched him, didn't he? Oh, I imagine those kind words looking around at Peter and saying, if I can't wash you, you got no part with me. If you can't follow my commandments, if you can't do the will of the Father, Peter, I love you. But you've got to do these things. That's part of the Christian faith. Then after he got through washing the disciples' feet, sat down, said, now you call me Lord and Master, and you say, well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, you ought to wash one another's. Listen at it. For I have given you an example that you should do to each other as I have done unto you. He was the example of Christianity. He was Christianity. He was our pattern. Don't never try to pattern your life after some preacher, after some a priest, after some a great religious man you're on earth, but pattern your life after Christ.
Amen.
He is your example. He set an example. He lived an example.
Right.
And presented it to the church. Oh, I hope that soaks so deep. Why is it that people don't want to hear the gospel? See? Notice, soaked down deep. He said he was an example. Now we've seen, watch what an example he set. He walked out saying, I have nothing that I can do in myself. And then one came to him, tiny little indifferent, looked around over the audience, and Jesus standing there looked around at him and said, thou art an Israelite, in whom there's no guile. When Philip went and found Nathanael out under that tree praying, brought him back to come over here. I want to show you who we found, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. And this self-starched man, he said, why could there be any good thing come out of Nazareth? He said, come see. That's the best way to find out. Go find out. He said, come and see. Well, he come over there, you know, nice man, good, moral man, honest as the days is long. And he walked up there before Jesus, standing out there in the crowd, and Jesus looking around, I'd imagine when he heard Jesus was going to pray for some to sick or something, his heart began to kind of melt down a little. You know, I could hear him almost say over to Philip, say, Philip, that fellow's a little different from the ordinary preacher that we see. Oh, my, is he different? He said, he's just a little different. I kind of like the way he talks. I hear Nathaniel say, well, I thought you'd change your mind when you seen him. You got to hear him once. You just passed your opinion back. I heard he said he couldn't be anything good coming from Nazareth. About that time, Jesus, turning his lovely head, his great soft eyes looking over there, said, behold an Israelite in whom there is no God. That shook him. Said, me? Said, how'd you know me, Reverend or Rabbi? He said, before Philip called you, when you were under the tree, I saw you. There's the example of Christianity. That's right. He met a woman at the well, sent the disciples away, went into the city to buy some food, some victuals. And while they were away, Jesus, knowing that the woman had come, because he said he did nothing except the Father showed him, from Jerusalem, he goes straight out of Jericho, but he went up the way of Samaria. Wonder why? He had need to go by Samaria. I wonder why. Got out there and sat on the well, and the woman come out to draw the water. And he said, bring me a drink. He said, well, it's not customary for Jews to ask Samaritans that. He said, but if you knew who you were speaking to, you'd ask me for a drink.
That's right.
And I'd give you waters that you didn't come here to draw. Why, she said, the well is deep and so forth. He said, go get your husband. Right straight to the point. Go get your husband. That's what your trouble is. She said, I haven't got any husbands. That's right. You got five. Why, she said, I perceive that you're a prophet, sir. She said, I know when Messiah cometh, he can do these things. But who are you? He said, I am he to speak with you.
Yeah.
Amen. There's the sign of Christianity. There's the faith that they have.
Yeah.
There's the example. Why, she run into the city. Jesus come in, never performed any miracles or done any of his signs. He just talked to the people. They said, we believe you. We believe you. Not because the woman said it, you know, the secret of her life, but because we heard you talk, we believe you.
Yeah.
That's the reason we... Watch what happened a little later on to that city. Jesus went on. Notice, that's the kind of a life he lived. He passed through the pool of Bethesda, by the pool, rather, where great multitudes of impotent folk lay, lame, halt, blind, withered. Now look, do you believe Jesus had compassion? He was full of love.
Yeah.
But it's just like the people sometimes in love. They forget what kind of love they're talking about. The filial love and the agape love. One, both of them is love, but one's love above and the other's love here on earth. As I was talking to a reporter today, I said the love down here, the human love, would make you shoot a man on account of your wife. But the love that comes from above would make you pray for his lost soul.
Yeah.
Quite different, see? One of them is a love down here on this level, human love. And the other is the love that comes from above. And compassion that looks out upon the crowd and says, oh, won't you heal this person? He's sick. He's in such a need. This is a good man. We know him. Heal this little baby. Look, that's human compassion.
Yeah.
But real, here it is, real divine compassion is to do the will of him that sent you to do it. Jesus passed on by all the sick and the afflicted and the crippled. Went over there, found a man laying on a pallet. Said, will thou be made whole? Well, he said, I can walk when I'm coming down to the pool while somebody's a little better off than I am, steps in ahead of me. Jesus said, now if Jesus knew that he was laying there and had been sick 38 years, had this disease for 38 years, why would he heal someone like that? He was doing the will of the Father. And he found him. He said, take up thy bed and go into your house. He rolled his bed up and done what Jesus told him to do. Went walking on. The Jews found him, began to question him. They brought him into a trial. Jesus is brought to the trial. In the 19th, that's the 5th chapter of St. John, in the 19th verse, Jesus, when he was questioned, I wonder what they would question Jesus about. First thing, healing on the Sabbath. Next thing, why don't you heal them down there? Go down there and make all them well, if you can do it. Listen to Jesus' remark back. He said, verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing in himself,
But what the Father shows me, what I see the Father doing, the Father shows me, and then I go do it. In other words, Jesus done nothing in himself until he saw a vision of what the Father said do, then he went and done it. That's Christianity.
Right.
Doing the will of God.
Right.
That was his life. That's what Jesus did. Now, what did he say when he went away? We're contending for the faith that was once delivered. It had to come from somewhere if it was delivered to the saints. Is that right?
That's right.
The faith that was once delivered unto the saints. Who delivered it? He said, a little while, and the world will see me no more. Yet you shall see me, for I will be with you, even in you, to the end of the world. And the things that I do, tell you also. Even more than this, for I go to my Father. You get it? What was it? The faith that he represented, he delivered to the church to take it to the ends of the world. Amen. Oh, I hope you just really get down under your skin. Look to the fifth rib on the left side. Notice, that was the faith that Jude was talking about. That kind of faith, the things that Jesus did, the faith that he had in God, he delivered that same thing to the saints. For he said, the same things that I do, you do also. Hallelujah. I hope it's all right. Notice, the things that I do, shall you also, I deliver this to you. But before you can have it, go up there to the city of Jerusalem and wait a little while. I'm going to send the promise of the Father upon you. I'll be back to see you pretty soon. I'm going up to Calvary. They're going to crucify me, turn into the hands of the Gentiles. Wicked man will crucify me, but I'll raise on the third day. Then I'm coming back again. So tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem, Luke 24:49. Tarry ye, await up at the city of Jerusalem before you go to all the world with this gospel. I want you to go up to the city of Jerusalem and wait there until I come. If he's the one going to be in you, it was him that come.
Yeah.
In spirit form. Go up and wait, for I'm going to send the promise the Father promised you. I'm going to stand it up on you. Then I'll be with you, even in you, all the way to the end of the world. And I will be in you doing the same things that I did while I was here in this body. I'll be back in my mystical body doing the same things. See it?
That's right.
Hold on. Only thing his death was at Calvary was to save the sinner and produce to the church the power or the authority and the faith to do the same things that he did. Or to open up a heart, make a channel that himself could dwell in. Hope you see it. Watch. We'll see if it did. All right. When he went away and the Holy Ghost come on the day of Pentecost, what? Immediately a little fellow named Philip, all filled with Christ, went down to Samaria where Jesus had not done any miracles, but told the woman in a divine revelation of what was wrong with her, so forth, went out there and preached and performed miracles and cast out devils, and they had great joy in the city. That was a faith that was once delivered to the saints. Peter, after being filled with the Holy Spirit, was out on a journey one day and went up to the top of the house to wait for dinner. He probably didn't have any breakfast because he was hungry. And while they were making ready down here by the seaside, and Simon's house, the tanner, Simon Peter went up on the housetop, which is customary in the Orient, to leap up on the housetop, to eat up on the housetop and everything. Peter went up and sat down and was resting a little while. And while he was resting, he was a representative of the faith. We have to hurry now. It's already 9. In the closing, listen. He had to represent the faith, for Jesus had told him that he would represent it. So then when he fell into a trance, wonder what kind of condition he got into. The Bible said he was in a trance.
Right.
Today they said, there's a spiritualist.
Right.
He fell into a trance, and in the trance he saw visions. What was the vision telling him? Exactly the will of God.
The same thing that happened to Jesus of Nazareth. He said, now look, Peter, I want you to go up. There's some man coming waiting for you now, and I've showed you this vision of this sheep full of unclean things. And Peter raised up and said, oh, no, I never eat anything wrong. Said, I never unclean one into my body. Said, I'm not eating. He said, don't you call common and unclean what I've made clean.
That's right.
So now, Peter, you don't understand the vision, but there's two men waiting for you. Get up and go on with them, doubting nothing. Oh, my. That is the faith that was once delivered to the saints.
Yes.
That's the way they acted with it. So Peter got up, perhaps never even ate his dinner. And away he went up, and Cornelius had seen a vision. And he called all these people, the elect, brought them in, set them, probably took the wash bench and everything, pulled out the chairs and set all the people around. And Peter came in and began to testify and tell them how the Holy Spirit fell on the day of Pentecost. And while Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on the Gentiles. That's the faith that was once delivered to the saints. And they all began to speak with tongues and magnify God and glorify God, having the same kind of a meeting like they did on the day of Pentecost.
Yeah.
Peter said, can we forbid water sins these and receive the Holy Ghost like we did at the beginning? So he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. And he tarried with them several days. Along this time as a very indifferent man, Paul, with a bachelor's degree and a D.D. and a Ph.D., to know all about all theology. He said, I'll take that bunch of people and crazy people. That's what he said, heresy. What is the person's heresy? Heretic. Goofy, crazy. But I'll arrest every one of them. They don't even know what they're talking about. Paul was down here in the natural realm with his Ph.D. See? He didn't know. He had an intellectual faith, but he didn't have a divine faith. It's quite a difference in having an intellectual faith than a divine faith. That is where you, my Baptist friends, fail to go on. You get the intellectual faith by that, but it must be a divine revelation of Jesus Christ to you that takes sin out of the heart. The intellectual faith is not enough. That's all right, but it only brings you to the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is a personal experience of the birth, the new birth, regeneration, making a new creature in Christ. Notice, Paul jumped on his feet and down to Damascus with some letters from the high priest that I'll arrest every one of them heretics. I'll bring them back. Look how the gospel got spread. It didn't sit still like it is today. Brother, when they seen the works of God being performed by those apostles, away they went. They were really on fire. They were doing something. Probably Philip's revival produced a great thing, and way over there, Paul on his road to Damascus from Samaria over to Damascus, God had then called a man and filled him with the Holy Ghost and give him the gift of discernment, and his name was Ananias. So Paul on his road down, that's the faith that was once delivered to the saints.
That's right.
Paul on his road down, chopping along now in his big old steed, just a brook, pulling out great big old things. Oh, if I get out of the big tracks, I'll take care of them. I'll stop all that there noise and them visions and that, all that prophesying. I'll put a end to it. And about that time, the pillar of fire that led the children of Israel never appeared before him, but smacked him right in the face and knocked him off his horse. Amen. Begin to walk around him, looked up, there's so bright around him, the same pillar of fire. A light that shined down stronger than the sun in its middle of its heat. Paul shook his head. He said, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? He said, Lord, who is it I'm persecuting? What a difference. God said, now I see what I'm going to do to him. I'm going to make him a vessel. I'll make him serve me. God's got a way of doing things, you know. So he said, now rise, stand up on your feet, and go down to the street called Straight. That's a good place to take a new convert. And they go down to Damascus and street called Straight. Now I can imagine Paul going into somewhere there and said, lady, oh, my head's hurting, my eyes, I can hardly see a flash, and I'm in such an awful fix. Got a little room and rented over there in the hotel and got in there, and all the day he prayed, saying, Lord Jesus, I'll just tear up these old letters that Ananias gave me. I don't want to know no more about them. I want to know more about you, Lord. And there was an old preacher down there who saw visions by the name of Ananias. See? The faith that once delivered to the saints, how'd he get it? See? The gospel had been preached.
And Ananias saw a vision, and he saw a man named Saul laying in a house, rolling and tossing and crying and going on. The Lord said, Ananias, go down there in the street called Straight and lay your hands up on him that he'd get his sight back again and be healed and receive the Holy Ghost. What is it? God appeared in a vision to Ananias. The faith that Jesus brought them, the results that come with it was produced on the church. Said, go on down now, lay your hands on him, and you'll receive the Holy Ghost and receive his sight. God still reveals to people, go lay your hands on this one, tell this one, speak to this one, go over here to that one. You see it every night.
Amen.
Said, go down and lay your hands on him. He said, Lord, I've heard about this fellow. Said, he draws out curtains. We hear he's got letters from the high priest. God said, behold, he prayeth. When he come out of the vision, I see him wiping his eyes and getting himself back normal again, reaching, got his Bible as it was, his script, and put it under his arm, and here he goes down the street, looking down the street called Station. Now let's see, I see in that vision a house that looked a certain way. Where is he? Goes on past the city park, down past the courthouse, on down past the synagogue, walking along, and over here he said, oh, that's it. That's the place I saw in the vision. Goes up there and knocks at the door, opens up and goes in here, lay old Saul in there, rolling and tumbling, praying. He walked up to him and said, Brother Saul, Brother Saul, you saw a vision coming down, didn't you? The Lord Jesus appeared to you up there. I hear Saul say, how do you know it? Why, he appeared to me down here and told me all about it. That's the faith that once delivered to the saints. He said he met me down there and told me to come up here and lay hands on you that you could be healed. And also that you might receive the Holy Ghost, for he chose you. Oh, my, there you are. And he laid his hands up on him and prayed as he, God asked him to. And Paul's eyes were healed. And he took him right down to the river and baptized him, calling on the name of the Lord, washing away his sins. And Paul was called to the gospel. That's the faith that once delivered to the saints. Paul was standing up there one night, being a prisoner, going to the galleys of a room. I stood the place where they chopped his head off and pitched him out of window into the ditch. Bring your heart up! There, Paul, in prison, going out, was put on an old ship, going overladen down with wheat. And on his road out there, he told the people, said, I feel that we should loose from here, from Crete. He'd go out there, he said, I'm afraid you're going to cause some trouble. Yeah, who is this prisoner anyhow? Kick him on the board. And 14 days and nights in the great hurricane, all hopes of ever being saved was gone. They tossed back and forth and the compass needle broke. Everything, the mast fell, and what a condition. The old sails was ripped into threads and every man was screaming and crying and all hopes that they'd ever be saved was gone. Here was Paul with his chains on his hands and on his feet. One night he went down into the gallery, perhaps up in the bulkhead, called back in a little place and closed the door, secret closet, and began to pray. Perhaps all night long. The next morning, here's some chains rattling, come up the steps, here comes Paul. Standing out there shaking his hands. The calluses can change because of preaching the gospel, contending for the faith. That was once delivered to the saints. Them chains on his hands. Look, if he preached it and contend for it, God will reward him with it. There he is, with his hands like that. Said, just a minute, be of a good courage, every one of you in the old ship tossing back and forth. Be of a good courage. For the angel of God, whose servant I am, stood by me last night. Might have been a pillar of fire. I don't know what it was. Might have been the same one come to Peter and took him out of prison. I don't know. But said the angel of God, whose servant I am, stood by me last night, said, don't fear, Paul. Said, otherwise, gentlemen, I saw a vision last night. The angel of the Lord came to me and told me not to fear, for I must be brought before Caesar. Howbeit, this little ship's going to be wrecked on a certain island. And look, I've got to stand before Caesar, and God has given every one of you to sail with me, is giving you to me. Yeah. Wherefore, brethren, he said, be of a good cheer, for I believe God it'll be just as it was shown unto me.
Hallelujah.
The faith that was once delivered to the saints.
What was it?
The Spirit of Christ in the apostles. Is that right?
Yes.
Quickly, got to close. The Spirit of Christ in the apostles. We've often called the book the Acts of the Apostles. That was wrong. It's the Acts of Christ in the apostles, because they were men. But they had the same faith. Now, the Spirit of Christ in the apostles was what was doing that. 33 years later, Jude said, continually contend for that faith. I will give all diligence to write unto you, to exhort you, to stir you up, in other words, that you would earnestly contend, keep holding out for the same faith that was delivered to the saints. Does your church believe that? Which it does, it's contending for the faith that was once delivered to the saints. Earnestly contend for the faith. Now, does your church believe that Jesus Christ in the form of the Holy Spirit is here today? If we believe the Holy Spirit is here, then the Bible said Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Then the same Holy Spirit was up on the apostles. Has got to be the same Holy Spirit that's here today. Is that right? What if I told you tonight that the spirit of John Dillinger was in me? Why, be dangerous to be here. You look for me to have two big guns on my side because the spirit of John Dillinger, an outlaw, was in me. What if I told you the spirit of some great famous artist was in me? You expect me to dip the brush into the paint and paint a picture here of the sunset or the tide rolling out of it that would fascinate you and hold you spellbound? What if I told you the spirit of George Beverly Shea? What if I told you the spirit of Ernest Iceberg? It was in me. You'd expect me to sing with the melody that those men sang with because their spirit is in me. And if I say that the Spirit of Christ is in me, it's got to produce the life of Jesus Christ. Exactly. And if Christ is here, the hope of glory in us now, He will produce just exactly the same life that He did then. Chicago, my beloved friends, the purchase of the blood of our Lord Jesus, you are. To you who love me and come to me, listen to me. I love you with undying love. And remember, continually contend for the faith that was once delivered to the saints, brought to us by Jesus Christ, handed down from the apostles, down to the St. Francis and so forth, on down. He's the same Lord Jesus yesterday, today, and forever. And I am here tonight to contend for the faith that was once delivered to the saints. And God help me to always, until my dying day, to contend for the faith that was once delivered to the saints. May you receive it, is my prayer in Christ's name. Father, these few broken words that have been spoken now some 45 minutes long, carried long, longer than I intended to, because of the press and healing of the message, the word, to get to the people. If they can only receive the word, then they'll have you in their hearts. And when I'm miles away, they'll still have the faith that was once delivered to the saints. Father, the best of my knowledge, I have told the truth, and of all that I know how to say, that is the truth. It's the faith. And now, Lord Jesus, you who so wonderfully said these words, I'll be with you, even in you, to the end of the world. Won't you come tonight and manifest your resurrection in the power of deity, the power of vision, the power of healing, the power of forgiveness of sin? Manifest yourself to this, we waiting children, hungry-hearted. We want to see the manifestation of the faith that was once delivered to the saints. No matter how many times you come, Lord, I still love it. I want to see it again and again. For I love you. I want to be with you forever. And Father, I pray tonight that you'll take this service into thy hands now and come and do something like you did back there. Like you did to those at Emmaus that day, breaking the bread. You've done it different from anybody else. And their eyes were open and they realized it.
that you were there, you recognized who you was. Won't you come tonight and do the same thing? Maybe not the same thing, but do something in a manner that we'll know that it's the same Jesus that introduced to the world the faith that the saints had and still carrying on today. May the unbeliever, the skeptic, be saved tonight. May the sick be healed and the saints rejoice. For we ask it in Jesus' name, thy Son, who promised us these things. Amen. Here. I've given the people in the pit here with the switching their recording, bless their hearts, they get those, because a lot of the loved ones, they want to find out sometimes what was said to them. Watch it. Now, before I go in to pray for the sick, now I will say this, my dear brother and sister. It may be this night that not one thing will be told. I can't say. I have no control of it. God controls that. See? Now, I want you to do this. Now, as believers, if you're skeptic, don't sit near if it's dark, because you only find yourself in trouble. But remember, you might have a disease, sure enough. So remember, demon powers will be at large if the Holy Spirit comes to make them go. You believe He ordained us to do so? He said the last thing that He said before He left the earth, the last address to the church, go into all the world and preach this gospel to every creature. Is that right? It could not just be for the disciples. For He said, all the world is every creature. And these signs shall follow in all the world to every creature that believeth. In my name they'll cast out devils, speak with new tongues,
right.
Take up serpents.
Right.
If they drink a deadly thing, it wouldn't harm them.
Right.
If they lay their hands on the sick, they shall recover.
Right.
And He was received up into glory. It's the last time His voice has been heard audible on the earth since that time, till He burst the heavens again to return.
Right.
He said, when I return, will I find faith? These signs shall follow them that believe. Faith cometh the letters, brother. Let us pray now for the letters. All right. Come here, lady. Now, I want to ask you, here stands a woman standing here again tonight. I believe it was a few nights ago. The same thing. The lady is a colored woman. And she, from her beginning, her state, she's an Ethiopian, and I'm an Anglo-Saxon, or the white race. The same thing taking place at Samaria when Jesus met the Samaritan woman. And she said, it's not customary for you to have any dealings with us, because they had a racial affair in that day. But Jesus plainly let her know that there was no difference in people. That's right. For man neither worship in this mountain or at Jerusalem, he said. But the man worship God in spirit and truth, and the Father seeketh us to do so. See? Spirit and truth. Now, but this is an example. Here's a woman. I suppose we're strangers to each other, don't know one another, but God knows both of us. And He knows her as Ethiopian. He knows me as Anglo-Saxon. And we're both of the same blood. God made of one nation, one man, blood. Every human being has the same kind of blood. Can give sense? The Chinese, the Japanese, the yellow, the brown, the black, the white, they're all the same blood, just the color of their skin. So Jesus Christ died for both of us. We stand here tonight, her Christian. I know she's a Christian. Because how do I know that? Just the same way that Jesus knew that Philip was a believer. See? He said, behold, an Israelite in whom there is no guile. Honest and truthful. I never seen her before, so how do I know she's a Christian? Because moving in is a welcome spirit. See? She's a Christian. She believes. Now, she's here for some purpose. God knows that. I don't. But if He reveals it, then Christianity of AD 33 is an operation in 1955. Is that right? Then Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever, isn't He? As with the apostles. God bless you now. While we pray, and I talk to the lady just a few moments. Now, when I'm speaking to you in the prayer line, Now, if you're standing there without sufficient faith, if you're there just a little skeptical, I don't know. But I'll tell you, if you are, as in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, if you firmly don't believe this to be of God, step out of line. Because you'll probably get in more trouble than you are where you're standing there. See? Just remember that. Because your prayer card brings you here. See? That gives you a right to come here. But out yonder, that's his selection. If the people out there without prayer cards, that's what he selects. This is the people that was just called by number. So I won't know who you are and what you're coming here for. But when he shows visions out there, it'll be someone that he wants to know something about, to hear, to say something. The Lord bless you. Now, lady, as a believer with you in the Lord Jesus and his great love and omnipotence, and I'm just, you say, Brother Branham, boy, I'm just talking to you. Just, see, it's just like tuning an instrument, see? I know that you're a believer. I know that because your spirit feels welcome. But now there's something that you've got on your mind, something that you want done or a favor you want to ask God or something. And now to do that, I don't know. So it's just like tuning an instrument. If you don't understand, you tune it and tighten it, loosen it until it tunes right in. Then you've got your melody, you know, to make your melody. It's the same way. And that's the reason I talk to the people just first. And these here, there's so many out there that's pulling through the balcony and everywhere, just a weakening process constantly, all the time. It's people. They're faith. See? But then, if I'd look out there first, I wouldn't know where it was. I know it's all out through the audience, but I don't know who it is. But if I can get two or three here till I can get in harmony with the divine will of God and the leading of the Holy Spirit, then it'll move to the audience. See what I mean, Christian? No, that's it. But, of course, you have eye trouble. You've got glasses on. And not only for your glasses, but you got bad eye trouble. It's bothering you recently more than ever. That's right. It's your eyes. If you're here wanting prayer for your eyes, or they seemingly like that they're going out. But you've come to ask me to pray for you that God would spare that. For I know that to be the truth. And then you, let me have your hand just a moment. Yes, you've got a disease. Not exactly a disease, but it's a growth. And it's a tumor. And that tumor is on the breast. And it's on your left breast. That's right. Now, do you believe it? This is the faith that was once delivered to the saints? Do you believe that's the same spirit that said to the woman at the well, you have five husbands? He knows you had your disease and what your trouble was, doesn't he? Now, do you believe? Come here just a minute. Dear God in heaven, praying that your spirit rest upon our sister and may she go and be made well. For your blessings being here, your spirit, and your anointing upon your servant, I lay hands on her at your command and say to the demon that's tormenting her, leave her in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. God bless you, lady. Now, would you come? I suppose that we be strangers ourselves to each other. You believe on the Lord Jesus with all your heart? There was a great pull that come from the lady that just passed. The reason of it, she had tumor and you have too. That's what it is. You have a tumor. And that demon that just went out of her was screaming to this one, you see. That's true. It's tumor, what you want to be prayed for. Now, if I should talk to you a minute, God would reveal other things. But do you believe now if I pray that it would take place, that you'd be healed? You do. I tell you, you've got somebody else you want prayed for, or it keeps rolling over your mind. You was wondering, I'm not reading your mind, but you were wondering if I was going to pass that request. Isn't that right? I'm not reading your mind. That's true. It's your daughter. Isn't that right? And she's suffering with a mental condition. She isn't here in the building with you tonight, but you want her to be healed, don't you? Now you feel something all over you, don't you? Is that right? Just wave your hand. That's the angel of the Lord. Do you believe it now, sister? May your faith reach up now and it be over. Father, I lay my hands upon her in the name of your Son, the Lord Jesus, and ask that this be the cure in Jesus' name for his glory. Amen. God bless you, sister. Now, that ought to convince anybody in here Jesus Christ raised from the dead. Is that true?
Hallelujah.
Sure it is. All right, bring it. Oh, how lovely it is to trust the Lord Jesus. Now, you see, really, now what the Holy Spirit would want me to do right now, see, right now, if I follow the perfect divine leading of the Holy Spirit, it would be a committal right now, see. But may God share grace just a little longer. This is the last night, and we got so many lined up. May God grant it. But right now, I just feel like something's going. Just a calling over the audience, calling, calling. Oh, I pray God open your eyes tonight. Like the servant, I am not a hypocrite. I am your brother. Pray and believe. Have faith in God, you people out there. How do you do, sir? You believe with all your heart that the gospel that I am trying to preach of the Lord Jesus is the truth, sir? You do. You know it is. That's the way to say it. See? For by your word you're condemned. Or by your word you're saved. When you believe on the Lord Jesus, testify of him before man, he'll confess you before the Father and the Holy Angel. We're strangers to each other. I don't know you. You don't know me. We've never met in life. But God knows you since you were born, knows me since I was born. And our eternal destination lays within his hands. If he then will come and let me know what you're here for, or something, if anything he desires to say, something that you know I know nothing about, will it make you believe with all your heart? Your trouble's in your chest. That's right. And here's the reason it's in there. You're a smoker. You smoke cigarettes, and that's exactly what's to cause your chest to be in that way. Not only that, but I see you trying to give them up. You're trying to get rid of it. And it seems like the thing just to hold on until you can. But your hope is built that now it'll leave. You won't be deceived. You'll get what you ask for. Now go on your road. You're finished with cigarettes. In the name of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, this devil moved from the man. How do you do, ladies? Suppose we're strangers to each other also, aren't we? We don't know each other. Jesus knows us both, doesn't he? It was the music of the organ. Jesus comes. That's all right. The tempter's power is broken. Sure enough, that's right. His power is broken. Ladies, look this way. You are here for a condition. It's a growth. And it's on your arm, I believe. Is that right? A swelling. It's on your right arm. Right beneath the arm, in the pit of the arm, it's a growth, a swelling condition. Isn't that right? That is true. Do you believe Jesus makes you well now? God bless you. Glory. In the name of Jesus, the Son of God, we cast out the evil from our sister. Amen. That sounds very simple, and it is, but the power of God does it.
Amen.
Come, would you, lady? Suppose that we are strangers, one to the other. We don't know each other. Jesus knows us both, doesn't he? He knows both of us.
Of course, you even look a Christian, ladies, to look at you, and your spirit is welcome to know that you're a Christian. You haven't had a flower bed of ease either in life. I see a dark streak, a trail, just as it moves in the spirit. You're here for me to pray for you, for you got a growth too. Yeah. And that growth is on the foot. Yeah. It's on the left foot. Isn't that right?
Yeah.
The truth? You got a loved one or a friend that you want me to pray for too. You didn't think I was going to say that, did you? But I that's who you were thinking about. And that person has had a stroke. It's had two strokes.
That's right.
Two strokes. And another thing about the person, it's not a Christian.
That's right.
Isn't that true?
That's right.
Now you're healed and go lay that handkerchief on your person.
That's right.
And friend, in the name of the Lord Jesus. You believe with all your heart? Dear Reverend. Just a moment, lady. That's all right. Go ahead. Just go ahead. There's a vision moving in the corner. I see some, like hills and waving timbers. And it's, I believe I recognize the place. It's, I believe, Pineville, Kentucky. And there's a lady, you're for your sister at Pineville, Kentucky, who's, you have a prayer card, lady? You don't have a prayer card? You don't have a prayer card. Okay, that's all right. Your sister suffers with TB at Pineville, Kentucky. Isn't that the truth? All right, God grant you your request. God bless you. Your faith has did it. See, friend, you don't have to have prayer cards. You have to have faith. That's what operates the gift of God, not a prayer card, your faith. That's what operates God's great, tremendous gift. Have faith in Him. Don't doubt Him. Believe Him with all your heart. Praise be to God. You're standing for somebody too. And they're away from here. And I said, turn around. It's way down in the south. It's Atlanta, Georgia. Is that right? And it's a loved one. And it's a young fellow, a young folk, and it's a polio case. And I see them either calling or sending me a message to come pray for the person. Isn't that right? Take that handkerchief to them, and it'll do the same thing. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, be it so. Amen. God bless you. Have faith.
Brother.
You believe God make you well? What do you say if I told you he would be sitting there in a chair? You believe it, Mr. Payne? You believe it? You wonder how I know your name, doesn't you? You live at 428 South Utica Street, over in Illinois. You're at Waukegan, Illinois. Go home. You got your request. Amen.
Blessed be the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, the great Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. He that was, which is, and shall come, the root and offspring of David, the morning star. The avenue, the gate, the God-provided lamb, the Jehovah Jireh, Manasseh, Jehovah, all the redemption and all the blessings and all the power and all the might lays within him and in reach of every believer here tonight. Amen.
How do you do, lady? You believe me to be his servant? With all your heart. You suffer with the condition of the arteries, the hardening of the arteries. You believe that Jesus will heal you? and you're packing a handkerchief in your hand to give to me to go on your husband, which has arthritis, and he's in Michigan. Isn't that right? Take it to him in the name of the Lord Jesus.
Let's say praise the Lord. If you can believe, you believe God heals you, that female brother, but it's going off the platform. Say, thank the Lord. Let's say, blessed be the name of the Lord. Have faith in God. That lady sitting right there with a little hat on, colored lady looking towards me, suffering with chest trouble. You believe Jesus heals you sitting right over there, lady? If you believe it, well, you can have it. That, yeah, she'd have turned your head and looked the other way there, just saying, there it is, just holding your chest, something is wrong. If you believe Jesus Christ heals you, you may have what you ask for. God bless you. All right, go and receive it. I've seen another colored lady up here just at the same time, just a minute, but it was something different. May the Lord Jesus, ever who you are out there, without a prayer card now, start looking this way, believing. I've seen a colored lady doing something, but it was a different kind of an examination than what was given to. Here she is. It's a fallen colon, a colon condition, sitting right there. Isn't that right? Raise your hand if that's right. God bless you. Go and be well now in the name of the Lord Jesus. What more should you have to believe? Lady, you're nervous, aren't you? Upset because you have a female trouble, a lady's trouble. It's a little ulcer on the female, the wound. That's on your road. You're healed. Jesus Christ is your way. Have faith in God. Are you believing with all your heart? Oh, wonderful. Don't think I'm beside myself. I am not. Now, be reverent. I see someone. I believe it's this man sitting right here. He's praying about, he's got a boy he's praying for that had a cataract operation on the eye. God bless you, brother. Go on your road. You're healed also. So may the Lord Jesus be with you. Amen. Have faith. Don't doubt. Believe what God said is truth. That's all you have to do. You believe God will heal you that rupture sitting right there? Huh? You believe He does? All right. Go on your road and rejoice. There, the big gentleman there. Believe with all your heart. Go on and rejoice. Here's one sitting right here. Got a double rupture sitting right down here. You believe God's going to heal you that double rupture? Huh? If you believe it, you can take faith and believe with all your heart. You can have it. How did you, sister? You have many things wrong with you. One of your great things you want me to pray for is for that stiffness, that arthritis that's bothering you. Isn't that right? You believe you have it now? You think your faith is sufficient? You want me to lay my hands on you, of course. I'm going to do that as you pass by. So come on. Father, let thy spirit come upon my sister. May the stiffening spirit that would cause her bones to run together, I rebuke it in the name of Jesus Christ. May she go and be made well. Amen. God bless you, lady. Have faith. Believe with all your heart. Weak is the nervous heart bothering you. You believe Jesus Christ will make you well? He has made you well. Turns right around you. Go on your own and be happy, for you are healed in the name of the Lord Jesus. Come, lady. Do you believe with all your heart? You want to go eat your supper? Enjoy your food again? That will stomach trouble be gone from you? Or go on and eat your supper. Just rejoice in the name of the Lord Jesus. Have faith.
Hallelujah.
Young lady, you're very young to have female trouble that you have. But do you believe that Jesus Christ is going to heal you of it? I'd like to talk to you away from the microphones a minute, can I? No? Just something you couldn't say before the public, the young lady knows. Only God alone seen this happen. The young lady that was just up here and healed just then, is that right? Raise your hand. Only God alone. Yes. What I told you there, is that right? Just God alone. We could have knew it.
Are you sure? If you believe it. If you have faith.
Come, lady.
My, it would be good to get over that old diabetes and be well again, wouldn't it? You believe you are going to be well? In the name of Jesus, God's Son, I ask for your healing. Go now. In Jesus Christ's name, and be made well. My brother, would you obey me as God's prophet?
I would.
If you will, it's your only hope of ever getting over arthritis. Just walk off the platform like he's a young man. Say, I refuse to have it from this on. I've been standing in the presence of His Majesty, Jesus Christ. God bless you. Go on your platform. Go up there now, walk in. Hey. God bless you. Just follow my long sister, Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. All right. Come. You believe?
Amen.
Now, just a moment, there's something dark hanging at the lady. Real dark circling her. Oh, God, be merciful. What's the cancer? All right. Do you believe God can heal you of it now? He is the healer, isn't He? You believe it with all your heart? When the angel of the Lord met me, He designated cancer would be healed. Come here. Almighty God, this poor woman, knowing this condition exists in her body, I now ask, Lord, that my faith join with hers, and the great angel of God who met me that night and designated and said not even cancer will stand if you'll be sincere, get the people to believe. And Father, with all my heart, I believe that you'll heal her, and I say to the devil, leave her in Jesus' name. Come out, come. God bless you. Go believing with all your heart now. You want to get over the high blood pressure, lady, sitting there? You've been healed for about 10 minutes. Sitting there. Amen. I want you to do me a favor. Will you do it now? Your daughter's in the hospital. Sitting there next to her. That's right. Lay your hand over on him, will you? Father, grant the deliverance of her. Through Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. Don't worry, brother. Don't be scared of heart trouble. Go on your road rejoicing, Jesus. Have faith in God. Believe with all your heart. Don't move now. If you go moving around, you're going to have to close the service here. Because it upsets me. You got trouble in your side sitting right there, that second person sitting in from the end there. Don't you, lady? You heal just then out of it. Stand up and just say, praise the Lord for your healing. God bless you. Spleen trouble. Come. Have faith. Don't die. Believe. If you believe, you can have what you ask for. How do you do, sir? I suppose we're strangers to each other, brother. You Christian, believer? I see you are. You've got a request to ask me, sir. Ask for a loved one, which is your father. He's got a stroke. You've had two strokes. And you yourself have diabetes. And you're one. You're a doctor.
Hallelujah.
That's right. In your practice, you pray for the sick.
Absolutely. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Oh, God, in Jesus' name, grant our brother his request. Amen. God bless you, brother. Have faith. Do you believe?
You believe for your eyes, honey? You believe Jesus will make you well?
Sure he is. I don't believe I can go much farther, friends. I'm just about... It looks like he's just whirling away now. Believe, will you, just now, every one of you, have faith just now. Put your hands over on one another. Let me make a committal prayer. Come here, Brother Wilson, somebody quickly. Put your hands on each other. Get me some water. Put your hands on each other everywhere. Merciful God, as my strength is fleeting, oh God, be merciful, Father, with a prayer of faith with all my heart, I condemn every sick, diseased person, body in here, and ask that you, the Holy Ghost, will represent to them the power of the resurrection of Jesus Christ and heal them. Satan, you're defeated. You're no longer holding the people. You're exposed. In the name of Jesus Christ.